Okay, in Module 3, we covered the internal launch. And then prior to that, we had covered the quick launch. Now I want to talk about the seed launch. So I'm going to break this seed launch out into its own mind map to give us a little bit more room. Okay, here we go. I'm going to take this, move it out here, and open it up. Okay, so the deal with the seed launch is this is a launch that you can start off when you're starting from scratch. It's a great way to get started. You can start from scratch and you can do it with a very small budget and you can do it with a very small list. Now you can also, once you're established, you can use this to create a product because this is the easiest way to build a product. I mean, there's absolutely work involved. Every time you're putting something together, creating a product, there's work involved. But this is a quick and relatively painless way to do it. And if you're a procrastinator, this is a way to sort of hold your feet to the fire and make sure that you actually create the product. In general, as you'll see when we walk through this, you'll end up with a great product and you'll generally end up with case studies. Now, this is something, I mean, this isn't, you can't use a seed launch to build a physical widget product. At least I don't think you can. I don't know. Maybe you could. But the way I'm teaching this, what I'm thinking of is information products, and it does work really, really well for that. So you can either use it when you're starting from scratch, or if you've already got an established business, you can use it to create a new product. So basically, what you end up doing is it becomes like an online coaching program where you do a series of teleseminars, or you could do them as webinars, and you can do anywhere from, you know, 3 of them to as many as you want, 9, 10, 11, 12 of them, a whole series of them. Typically, I'll do them 1 week apart. I do know people that will do them a couple days apart and move that much quicker. You know, I know people that have done a 3-part series where they do it like a Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and they're done within a week. I even know some crazy people that have done them like daily, like maybe Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Personally, I think that tends to be a mistake because you end up with a lot of work that way, and people generally cannot commit that kind of time to keep up with you to attend something that frequently. But so I like to do them 1 week apart. So what you end up doing is maybe if it's a 3-part series, you do 3 teleseminars, and basically what you do is you query your list for their top questions, concerns, areas they need help in, and then you do 3 teleseminars that are designed to answer those top questions and give them the information they want. And it's not that hard to do if you have the expertise in the area. If you don't, you can recruit experts. Now, I've shown you in prior modules how to find those experts, and you could do a 3-part or a 5-part or a 6-part series. If you had a different expert on each call, then you'd only be asking each expert to do 1 call. You'd end up at the end of it with a really nice, well-rounded product. So what you do is a series of teleseminars designed to answer the questions and the needs of the people in the program. And then you record the calls, and then at the end you end up with a series of recordings. You can get them transcribed, put the transcripts in a book, and now all of a sudden you've got yourself a product, and you know that you can sell going forward. Another thing that you do through this process is every time you do one of these classes like this, you'll end up with some of your students will turn out to be stars. And there'll be a whole continuum of students, and some of them will be great and some of them won't be as good. But if you take the stars, the people that are really putting your stuff to work, then if you can identify them, then you can actually work with them. You know, as they follow up with questions, you can email back and forth, develop a relationship with them. And these are the people that will go on to become your raving fans, and that will end up, you know, doing great things with what you're teaching. And that's where you start to develop your testimonials and your case studies. So part of this process is very much, keeping the interaction going throughout the entire process, so you end up with a really well-rounded, great product. Because no one can sit down and come up with the perfect product just, you know, sitting in their office thinking about it. It's much, much better to actually teach it, get the feedback on the teaching, see what works well and what doesn't work, and feed that back into your product. That's how you end up with a good product, and you end up with case studies and testimonials. So let's get moving and walk you through this plan. Okay, so the first thing you need to do is, if you don't have a list, you need to immediately start your initial list building. So list building 101, the video, I released that in module 2. And then in this module, there's a video, list building 202. So these two videos will get you started. The most important thing to do with list building in terms of getting started is just to get started. You know, go ahead and get your profollow.com account if you don't have it yet. That's where you manage your list from. And then you start working to add people. You know, we covered that, and I don't want to go through it again, but look, go watch List Building 101 again and go watch List Building 202. And in 202 specifically, we walk you through in a very exacting way how to go about start building your list with some search engine traffic. Then as you start to build your list, you email it every single week. Now, what you're eventually going to build up a series, an autoresponder series, so when people join your list, they get this series of autoresponders, but I don't want to get too complicated right now. Basically, you're going to email them every week. And, you know, presumably you've got yourself a topic. If it's learn guitars, then you're sending them information each week about learning guitar. Now, it doesn't have to be some amazing thing. You know, if you're sending them email of anywhere from 300 to 500 words, and maybe you're giving them one helpful tip and you're sharing a little bit about yourself, then that's all you need to do. You just need to keep this list warm. You don't want people to join your list and not get any email from you. So as you're doing this initial list build, just email them once a week, giving them, you know, maybe a short tip and telling them, you know, sharing some of the stuff that's going on in your life, sharing on your passion. If you're passionate about learning guitar, if you're passionate about playing guitar, then you could tell them about that. Whatever your topic is, if it's growing tomatoes, if it's baseball coaches, whatever, you're giving them a quick tip and some, you know, sharing a little bit about yourself, maybe some motivation. So you can start this seed launch when your initial list is very small, even if it's as small as 60 people. In fact, it could even be smaller if you want to do this initial seed launch. You could do it without even having an email list. You could do it just with a few of acquaintances, you have connections, people you know in your, you know, offline world that know about what you do and want to know more about it. You can just approach them. You can call them up. Go visit them, whatever. The bottom line is you only need about 20 to 40 people to make this whole thing work. Now, if you're going to do it with an email list, you could do it with a list as small as 60 people. It's probably better to wait if you're in the 200 to 300 people on your list. And you could do it partially online. If you had 60 people on your list and maybe you knew 20 people in your offline world that you can give a call and get them in. Basically, what we're trying to do, you're trying to get some people into this program to just build some critical mass so that you can teach them and they can feed back to you what you're missing, what needs to be done, what else has to be added into your product. Now, one thing I didn't add in here, let me go ahead and add one in here. We're going to take that and put it right here. Let's change that font. And because this is an important one. Do you want it to be free or do you want it to be paid? Now, ideally, you want to get paid because it's always good to get paid for your work, right? I mean, this is going to require some effort, so it's a heck of a lot better if you're going to get paid for it. You're in business. You definitely want to be paid. In addition, you're going to use this to create a product. So it's a much better story if people have paid you for this ahead of time, especially if they paid you a lot of money. So the best thing is if you can charge a lot of money for this thing. Now, that being said, if you're just starting out, you don't have much of a reputation, or if you have a very, very small list, it's more important to have people attending, people that are enthusiastic, people that are going to give you feedback, than it is to get paid for this. Especially if it's your very, very first product, if you're just starting out, just new to this, whatever niche you're in, then you could do it free. Or you could do it a combination of free and paid. And this is actually what I did with my product launch workshop when I, the very, very first, you know, I put this on in early 2005. It was the first time I taught any of these product launch techniques. I was at Yannick Silver's Underground Workshop, and I was the speaker there. So I sold, and I sold it for either $2,000 or $3,000. It was a series of teleseminars where I would teach about product launches. I shared with this earlier, I think, in that, you know, people loved the first version of Product Launch Formula. They thought it was a fantastic product. And the reason it was so fantastic was it came out of this product launch workshop, which was very much done in this fashion. This, the seed launch that I'm teaching you is the exact process I used. So I taught the product launch workshop. It was a series of, I don't know, 6 or 8 teleseminars. I got feedback every step of the way. So people were telling me what was good and what wasn't good. I took that information that I learned and how to teach it, and then I created the original product launch formula and ended up with a great product because I went through this process. That's what was important. It wasn't like I was some just uber genius sitting down in my basement and I came up with this fantastic product. I had all these techniques already. I knew how to do product launches. All of it was built over time. I've told you that. It was built when I was launching my trading products time after time after time. So I had, I don't know, 20 or 25 product launches under my belt, but I'd never taught it before. So through this series of teleseminars, I was able to learn the best ways to teach it, learn what were the big people's biggest sticking points. So then I did those teleseminars, and after the teleseminars were done, then I took what I learned about how to teach it and I re-recorded everything and I put it into Camtasia's and ended up with a great product. But I got a bit sidetracked here. What I wanted to say was when I sold it at from the stage at Yannick's Underground Seminar, when I was a speaker there, I sold it for either $2,000 or $3,000. Now, when you're selling something from the stage, it's easier to get a higher price like that. And what I ended up doing was I think we sold about somewhere between 9 and 12 or maybe up to, I don't know, somewhere in the 9, 12, 13, 14 spots for that, for the product launch workshop. So, you know, that was a gross of whatever, I think it was $3,000. So somewhere in the $30,000 to $40,000 range is what we did in gross sales. So it's not a bad payday to get paid to create the product. But I knew that getting 10 or 12 people in this was not enough to really create a robust program. Because in the reality, if you get, you know, if you sell 10 spots or you fill 10 spots on any given teleseminar, you're only going to get half of those people showing up. Because all these people are busy and they think they'll just listen to the recordings and whatever. Sometimes it's as low as, you know, 1/3 of the people showing up. So I knew I needed to get it beyond the 10 people. I needed to get up into the 30 people or so. So then what I did was I went back and I invited certain friends of mine that I knew were very interested in what I had to teach. So it was more important for me to be able to fill those seats. And so I ended up with, I don't know, probably 30, maybe even 35 people taking the course, of which, I don't know, somewhere in the 10 to 12, 14 range had paid for it. Now, this is important because that means going forward, when you go to sell the product, you know, I end up eventually selling the product anywhere from, you know, between $1,000 and $1,500. And I was able to tell people that, you know, the people who originally attended the product launch workshop paid $2,000. So that establishes the minimum level, or it establishes the value. People have paid $2,000 for this information. So I'm just telling you, the way I did it was I sold some seats, and then I was able, but it was important to me to fill out a large number of seats. And so I gave some seats away. Now, same lessons can work for you no matter what your price point. I mean, if you're teaching people how to play guitar, you're probably not going to get $3,000 for it. But you might get $97 for it. Or you might get, I don't know, $197 for it. Or, you know, if you're teaching people how to grow tomatoes, again, you're not going to get thousands of dollars for that. But you can still, you know, charge a certain amount of money. You know, maybe it's $47. And then going forward, you can tell people, your sales pitch in the final product, once it's all done, can be, you know, people paid $47 for it, but, you know, we put together a special deal for you and you can get it for $27. So the idea is, if you can, you want to sell it, or at least sell a certain number of seats. If you have to, then you sell some and you give some away. If there's just no way you're going to be, if you just have too small a list, or you just don't feel like you've got the power to actually sell it yet, then you could do it as a completely free program. Now, one problem with free is that a lot of times, well, first of all, people aren't going to value it. Another thing is often the compliance is not going to be there. In other words, by compliance, I mean, are people really going to show up on the calls and do what you tell them to do? Are they going to value it enough? A lot of times if they get it for free, they don't think it's worth anything. So they're not going to value it. They won't follow what you're teaching. So that's a real negative for going free. But like I said, there are times where, you know, if you just don't have the list, if you don't have the power, if you don't have the experience, or if you just don't have the self-confidence to try charging for it, you can do this plan and have it be completely free. Okay, let's move on. Okay, now we're going to walk you through, it's basically a 7-day pre-launch. Now, this pre-launch, it could be longer if you wanted to do it. I mean, it's basically an internal launch. So if you go back to last week where I showed you an internal launch, and walked you through every step of the way, this is basically like an internal launch. Now, since it's, you know, often a little more informal, because this is done with a smaller list, or it can be done with a smaller list. You can do it with a big list if you want to create a new product, but I'm sort of focusing on, you know, using a seed launch to start your business here. And often then you don't necessarily need to go through that big long launch. But if you wanted to do a 14-day or a 21-day internal launch for this, you absolutely could. Now, I want you to, as we go through this, you know, in here, the strategy and the timing for the triggers, you remember I went through this and I gave you the main things to hit at each point as you go through this. And so I don't want to pound it too much into the ground, since this is a lot of the ground we've already covered. But if you go back here, if you go back to the last module and go through how we hit these triggers in the pre-launch, it's very, very similar for the seed launch. So now I want to walk through this on a day-by-day basis and show what you do. But remember, it's not set in stone. You don't have to follow this exact sequence. Just be sure to follow the general internal launch that I covered in Module 3, and I went through that very, very explicitly. So typically, you start off with Day 1, with the initial announcement. Now, if we go back here, what was the start of the pre-launch was you focus on their frustrations and their aspirations. If you can come out with proof, then you come out with proof. You come out with your strongest, most compelling thing. Now, obviously, if we're in a 7-day launch, you don't have a lot of time to bring out a lot of stuff. So right here, I would tell your whole story, and the story focuses on the market's frustrations, their hot points and what are their aspirations. So I would, you know, you come out with that right from the very beginning in your first email. Now, just to show you how versatile, and you know, this stuff is, and not just versatile, but how so much of it overlaps and so much of it you can take and you can mold it whatever way you want. I'm going to show you that. This is the first email that we sent out from last week's example, from the mortgage web success example. And you'll see, like, this was the first email we sent out. This product launch was for a web-based service, but this just as easily could have been for a seed launch. Like, you know, like I said, we're sending out this first one right here. And what do we want to do? We're going to go back up here. The start of the pre-launch is to focus on frustrations and aspirations. So if we come and take a look at this email here, remember, we want to focus on frustrations and the aspirations. So here, now this, remember, this is written to loan officers, the people who create or write the loans for people buying homes. And we talk about that, you know, this is written from my client Brian Sachs' perspective. And it just starts off talking about how he uses the internet. Then it talks about how he's really not very good at computers. So he's touching on, right off the bat, he's building a common bond with most of his prospects because they're not great with computers, or they're not, you know, techno wizards. But then it talks about how the internet's the greatest business building invention ever, because these prospects, they know that there's this potential to build your business online. They don't know how to do it. So he's tapping into the frustration. Here he starts to talk about, he appeals to their aspirations, that he's been working on something that it's going to give them this same system that generates business for them 24 hours a day. And then he comes down here and asks, what are the two most important things that you need from your website? So really, this would work just as well for a seed launch. If in fact he didn't have some online system, he could have almost, you know, we could have sent almost this exact same email that took him into a series of teleseminars that taught them how to use the internet for their business. So, like I said, doing one of these seed launches is very much like doing a regular internal launch. So let's walk through the sequence here. So that was the day one initial announcement that I showed you. It's very similar to the day one, the initial announcement we used for the internal launch that I showed you last week. This is basically what you want to do. It goes back to the story we covered in Module 2, or the story we created in Module 2. The I'm a lot like you, then you give the frustrations and the aspirations, or the aspirations and then the frustrations. Then you tell them how you found the solution. There's some general ways that you found the solution. And again, we always like to base this in reality, base it in the truth. It's usually from endless hours of study, or maybe you've been a professional for years and years, or you studied obsessively. You read every book out there, and you basically created this whole domain of knowledge, and now you're going to share it. It could be that. It could be a lucky discovery that you just happened to stumble upon, so you didn't have to go through the endless hours of study. It could certainly be a combination of both of these. The endless hours of study led to the lucky discovery. Similar along that lines is the whole idea of I'm a mad scientist. This is sort of like endless hours of study. I think, you know, all of these overlap. I think more that you're just like some massive researcher and you've like read every book and you've distilled it down. And the mad scientist is more like you just, instead of going and studying everyone else's work and distilling it down into your own body of work, the mad scientist is more like you just started experimenting and digging around. Obviously all these overlap quite a bit, those first three. This final one is a good one that you see, and it's, you see this used often. It's just, I it's not you're the mad scientist or you're the one that studied all these books, but or maybe you were studying all those books, but you just came across this other mad scientist or this other person that had, one way or another had figured this out. That person shared it with you and gave you permission to share it with the world. So obviously, there's different combinations and permutations of all of these, but it's good to throw that in there, and it validates that, you are the expert and it gives you authority. Then you tell them that you've decided to share it with them. And then you tell them a little bit about what the program's going to be like. Now, you don't want to spell it out in excruciating detail, but since this is a quick one where we're only going for 7 days from the initial announcement to the launch, you have to tell them something's coming right off the bat. You don't have to talk price. You don't want to talk price at this point. You can just vaguely say it's going to be a series of telephone calls where I'm going to share this information, or a series of, online broadcasts, webinars where I'm going to share this information with you. And then you go to that standard question. I've repeated this over and over through the modules. Before I do this, I really need to know, what are your top two questions? If you could sit down and have a coffee with me or sit down with me for lunch, what are the top two questions about this topic that you really need me to cover? So it's a lot of ground to cover in that initial announcement, but you really, with this very shortened launch, the 7-day launch, you do have to cover a lot of ground in this first announcement. Now, if you're going with a 14-day or 21-day pre-launch, you probably don't need to be telling them what the program's going to be like at that point. You can go back to the standard one I showed you last week, the longer pre-launch, because remember, this really is an internal launch. It's not terribly different from an internal launch. After that, you would come back on day 3. This is something you could do it on day 2 as well, but I'm assuming this is a fairly new list for you. You probably don't want to pound them with an email every single day. So we're going with day 3. And this is where you're just following up. And it's basically, this is a social proof message. You talk about all the feedback you've got and how it's great to get the feedback, how you're very excited about this program because you've got so many wonderful people that are so enthusiastic about the program. If you got some good questions or comments from people, you can include them in this email. But this is basically just a follow-up. Boy, it's so great to get so much feedback. I'm really looking forward. It's going to be a great program. We've got a lot of other people that are looking forward to it. And if you're interested and you haven't sent me your top two questions, then go ahead and send them to me now. I'll be telling you in just a couple more days, I'll be giving you all the details on the program and how you can get involved. Very, very simple email. Then you would come back on day 5. This is where you start to give them the exact details of what's going to be in the program, how it's going to run, if it's going to be a teleseminars, if it's going to be webinars, how they can access it. And what's going to be covered. If you can break down what's going to be covered in each class or each teleseminar or each module, give them an outline, that's great as well. And so, this is generally fairly detailed, filled email right in here. Then the day 6 is the day before you release the program. Basically instructions. We're going to open up the doors tomorrow at 12 noon Eastern time, and it's going to cost such and such, or even if it's free, it's going to be free, but we have a limited number of seats, so be sure you get in right away. And then you come back with on day 7, where you release the program, and that's just a very simple email. Now, I know I'm going through this really, really quickly, but if you go back to the last module, I don't want to repeat myself over and over and over again. So if you go back to module 3 and walk through it, you'll see how I gave you copy examples for every step of the way throughout here. Because really, remember, this is an internal launch that we're doing. I'm just showing you how to do this to create your product. And you're going to be seeing that exactly in a few more minutes. So now you'll remember that the day after the launch, in this case we're calling it day 8, is typically about social proof and, you know, telling people, you know, how people signed up and they're so excited. A couple days later, you can follow up with more interaction. These are the questions we're getting. You know, a lot of people want to know more about the program. And so that's typically an interaction message a few days after the launch. Then you're going to come back as you get closer to the launch of the program. So we're doing a 7-day launch from day 7 to day 14. Now, this is a social proof and a scarcity message. People have jumped on board. They're really excited. We're getting their questions. We're getting them all set up. But we only have a couple days so we get started. So now is the time where you really have to jump on board. This is an online class with this, you know, defined start date. So we're going to have to shut down the registration in just a couple more days. And then you basically come back with another scarcity and social proof message and, you know, a 24-hour notice that we're about to get going. You know, if you really have to sign up now, we aren't going to be able to accommodate you once the program starts. Now, if you go look back on Module 3, you can see copy that we use with that Mortgage Web Success Launch, and that copy will really very much drop into here. So like I said, this is really, it's an internal launch. We're doing it as a seed launch to show you how to create a product out of this. And really the idea of a seed launch is often that first launch that you're going to do will be a seed launch. But, you know, you can look at all the copy I've used and shown you so far for the internal launch and even way back for the quick launch. All that copy will work for this type of launch as well. So then we get to here. At this point, you have to shut down registrations, and then we're going to start into the actual delivery of the program, which ends up being the creation of your product.